Welcome to Inciting Incident, the SJW podcast YouTube atheism warned you about. Intellectual but accessible, skeptical but personable, and calm and collected, unless you really piss us off.
People choose the news they want now, but we
can overcome
that.
People choose the facts they want now. I don't mind being dejected and rejected, but I'm not going to be ashamed about it.
I can do that.
See, Joy, that's the beauty of argument. Because if you argue correctly, you're never wrong.
The truth and a lie are not sort of the same thing.
Good evening. It's Friday and it's 7 p.m., which means it's time for the Inciting Incident podcast, supported by our patrons and available on Libsyn, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, LiveJournal, Google Plus, The Hard Harry Show, News Radio, WHP 580, Rock and Emily's bed radios that are somehow appropriate for children that age, most tin cans connected with string, Tumblr, Snapchat, Zanga, LimeWire, WinMX, Napster. We'll have to spell it with two Y's there to escape Big Brother. The DCI, the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, the plate in Pete and Pete's mother's head, and any other podcast app that somehow escapes this list. And now, here's your host.
Motherfucking Riz McCool.
Good evening, this is Riz McCool, and welcome to the Inciting Incident podcast. Bringing me in is the buttery smooth voice of Jesse Dollimore and Astrid, cutting it off with some inappropriate swearing, which is just the way we like it. Hi, welcome to 2017. I'm sure no celebrities will die this year. How are you, Brian?
I just watched my alma mater go 24-31 against Northwestern, and I haven't had dinner yet. I'm doing fantastic.
That sounds fantastic indeed, and I wouldn't know anything about watching a losing football team.
God,
and joining us,
Wildcats, fucking bastards.
Joining us from the By Any Means, By Any Means podcast,
I get it.
Is Trav Mamone. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Excellent. Welcome to
Trav.
Inciting Incident.
Ah, thanks for having me on.
Of course, we always love to get it queer up in the Inciting Incident studios.
And oh yes.
Yeah, Brian gets to be the straight white dude of the group, so...
Token
straight guy.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm the straight man, yes, literally this time around.
We'll just call you Colin Mockery from now on.
With a lot more hair, thankfully.
So, Trav, we officially met on your Christmas podcast, where you had many talented podcasters and me on your show. So, for the people who didn't download that episode, which they should, why don't you introduce yourself to the Lobsterhead Maniacs?
Okay, well, I am a 33-year-old bisexual, genderqueer, humanist blogger, and podcaster. By the way, my pronouns are they, them, there. And I have two podcasts. The main one is By Any Means, which is a weekly show where I talk to writers, bloggers, podcasters, artists, and activists all about like the intersections of like secularism, humanism, atheism, and social justice. And some of my past guests have included like David Silverman, Seth Andrews, Hina Databoy. Let's see. Nobody impressive as Noam Chomsky, but you know, I'm working on him.
You know, we've had 73 episodes now, and that's the only one anyone's brought up since episode 64.
He's the only mainstream famous name that people are like, really? Holy shit, Noam Chomsky? Yes, holy shit. That is the appropriate reaction to hearing that word.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of my other guests have included Sincere Carabo, Callie Wright, Stephanie Guttormson, next week, well, or maybe this week. It depends on when this episode comes out. But
It's okay. You're on Inciting Incident. Space is warped and time is bendable here.
Oh, okay. Well, well. Next week, from the time we are recording this, I'll have Shelley Siegel on the show.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, really excited to talk to her. I met her twice this past year. First one was the night before Reason Rally, where I met the folks from Gay Theist Manifesto, No Religion Required, and a bunch of other podcasts at this bar in D.C., and then Shelley came by, and I, like, totally geeked out in front of her. I was like, hi, Shelley. I really like your music. I especially like the one about, you know, I don't believe in fairies. It's nice. Okay, I gotta go now. She told me that I did all right. And then the second time I saw her was at Women in Secularism, and she was like, "Yeah, I saw you online saying how you, geeked out around me. You did fine, you know."
It's one of those weird life lessons that no one ever really prepares you for, is like what to do when you're in that starstruck deer in the headlights moment, how to actually cope with that. Right. I dealt with that myself just with my own weird subgenre of pop culture that I happen to dwell in for most of my daily life. It's never an easy thing.
Cool.
Yeah, and I've had people get that way around me, and I just have to say, I'm just some random girl from Central Pennsylvania. I'm not a star.
Right.
It's such a weird experience. Okay, and I got to surprise my girlfriend with that exact treatment, and I'm going to toot my own horn because, damn it, it's the smallest one that I can toot, so I'm going to blow that fucker as hard as I possibly can. Every time we get to there's the geek convention I usually go to out in Pittsburgh area, and I got to take my girlfriend with me for the last couple of years, and she was blown away by the weird amount of rock star treatment that I was given, because all my friends are on staff, and some of my friends are the guests as well. So I'm hanging out with people who are in the VIP section, and she's just looking at me going, who are you? Who is the person that I am dating? It's like, welcome to my world, dear. I don't know. It's such a surreal experience, no matter where it comes from.
Trev, how often are you the VIP?
Well, kind of. I mean, I think of myself as, you know, just a regular person. I mean, in my neck of the woods, you know, I'm basically just, you know, a regular person. But like when I went to Reason Rally, I was like, hey, Trev, I love what you're doing. It's like, wait, you know me?
I know,
how did
right?
that happen? You know? Oh, speaking of which, you know, I forgot to tell you about the second podcast I have.
Project.
Yeah, it's a podcast that I co-host with Morgan Stringer, formerly of No Religion Required. It's called the Bi-Skeptical Podcast, and that we do like every other week, you know, bi-weekly, ha-ha. And that's kind of more of a news commentary show where we basically just look at, you know, current events and just, you know, comment on it. And a lot of times what I try to do is I try to be like, you know, okay, well, this brings up a really, this is a really complex issue. Let me see if I can try to go into it a little bit more and try to not just, you know, rant and rave about how, you know, ridiculous, you know, the most ridiculous thing Donald Trump said this week, but also kind of go into like the deeper issue. Like, for example, when the Trump tape came out, you know, I messaged Morgan. I was like, you know, we're gonna have to cover this, right? And I told her that, you know, we should use this as a springboard to talk about rape culture, you know. And that was probably one of my favorite episodes. So yeah, that's my skeptical podcast. Yeah, that's what we do.
There's something in there that I have to question. You're able to pick one thing that Trump said this week that's ridiculous enough.
I know, right?
You're able to pick one thing, period, out of the entire swath of current events. My Tumblr feed is a minefield.
There
is no nice way to say that.
It's going to be the best Tumblr feed ever.
I have so much of a Lewis Black moment every time I turn on the computer now, because I look at one thing and I was like, I'm going to snark about that and make it funny. And then 5 minutes later, 30 other things happen that just piss me off too much.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, as someone who has represented the atheist community as well as the queer community, along with former guests like we've had Jeremiah, Ari, Callie, and a lot of other people you've probably already interviewed as well. Where do you find yourself on the intersectionality as those two subcultures sort of blend, so to speak?
That's a pretty good question. I guess, gosh, I should apologize in advance for the next few words that come out of my mouth, because I've never really thought about it before, and so I'm pretty much going to toss a word salad. I hope you brought plenty of dressing.
Yeah, we got some in the fridge, don't worry.
Okay, cool. So, well, the way I say that, you know, the intersection of secular humanism and social justice, there's so many. I'm not one of those people that think that, you know, oh, once we get rid of religion, we'll have utopia. You know, there's so many things. So many things are interconnected that, you know, solving one doesn't automatically solve the rest. Like, I know there's a lot of, you know, so-called brocialists who say, you know,
I've not heard that word.
Oh, yeah. Brocialist is basically like, you know, your stereotypical sort of
dude bro socialist?
Yeah, kind of like that, you know, only focus on, like, you know, you've heard of white feminism, right? Well, think of brocialism as, like, you know, white male socialism, you know.
Otherwise known as socialism.
yeah, basically. So like, you know, a lot of these you know, white socialists, white bro socialists, they'll think like, oh, well, once we get rid of classism, you know, everything else will take care of itself. It's like, no, that a lot of other stuff have to, you know, there's a lot of other issues as well.
It's a process, and I find that kind of utopian thinking is not exclusive to any one end of the political spectrum. Believe me, the people that I tend to get into arguments the most on Facebook are really heavy on the right wing of their political ideology, but they're just as utopian when you realize, like, the ANCAPs that I always complain about, when you realize that their whole argument breaks down into, we should all just be cool to one another. It's like, yeah, fuck you, that's not how the world's gonna work.
Right, yeah, exactly.
There's gotta be a process in place here.
Yeah, Todd, why don't you get a second button-down shirt and something other than stripes, and then maybe we'll talk. Sorry.
Right.
Go ahead, Trav.
Nah, that's cool.
We'll use ourselves, yeah.
But, right. You know, the reason why I say that, you know, secular humanism and social justice, you know, intersect, or at least should intersect, is because, okay, well, you know, we've pretty much, you know, figured out that all of the bullshit, we figured out that religion is bullshit. You know, why not go after bad ideas outside of the church as well, you know? And also, as humanists, you know, we're all about making the world a less shitty place. So, you know, it doesn't really make sense to, you know, focus just on, you know, all the problems that, you know, come from religion, even though, you know, a lot of them do come from religion, but also the stuff, like I said, outside of the church. I mean, you can find sexism, you know, both within and without of the church, you know?
I'd say that religious institutions kind of help legitimize that, but it's not
right, an yes. kind of thing. Yes, but, yes, I mean, perpetuates it. Mm-hmm.
I always consider myself, I'm a person that I don't like bullshit arguments, and I know that I'm, you know, tomato in the mirror. I'm guilty of doing the same things too, but the point is to check yourself as best as possible. But I'm curious, if I could put you on the spot a little bit there, talking about the idea of secular humanism and social justice. I mean, I will agree that they intersect, but I don't think that there's really that much of a mutual exclusivity between those two terms in the first place. How would you, like, define the difference between the two?
You know what? I don't really see much of a difference between the two either. I think they kind of go hand in hand. Although if you talk to a lot of people on, you know, Reddit or 4chan, they'll say they basically propose, you know, like I said, you've heard of white feminism. Well, there's a lot of people who basically spout, you know, white humanism, you know. You talk about Black Lives Matter, it's like, oh, lives matter. It's like, fuck you.
those are their safe spaces.
Though. Right, yes, exactly.
That's what it boils down to.
Hashtag triggered.
Every time I see that come across, it's like, you have no idea what those words actually mean.
Right, exactly.
yo, it's so cool. Like, if we all had no trigger warnings, nobody would be upset, man. Socialist.
I'm going to go curl up in front of ESPN and cry some more.
So, Trav, as someone who has to deal with brochalists, what would you say is your All Lives Matter response in that aspect to deal with them?
Yeah, how do we counter this bullshit?
Well, that's what I'm still trying to figure out. What I do is, like, say, okay, let's take, for example, you know, Peter Boghossian. Like, he recently made a tweet about how some university professor got fired for, like, you know, wearing blackface as a Halloween costume. And Peter, he's basically of the Dave Rubin quote-unquote liberalism. Fuck you. It's not liberalism. It's libertarianism, okay? Get over yourself, all right? And so, you know, he basically said something like, you know, something, something, free speech, campuses, safe spaces, blah, blah, blah. So I just tweeted him and said, so you're basically saying that the First Amendment says that, you know, privately owned universities cannot fire their staff members for behaving in a way that makes the university look bad. Right. He hasn't responded to me yet.
I can't imagine.
It's one of those things that you, excuse me, that I feel like we always have to be careful about, because it's, as much as I enjoy doing the snarky, like, hashtag a good cartoon treatment of a lot of bullshit that I see, and just turn it back on itself, it's so easy to do that to anything that you, that might come from a position of, you know, earnestness and, you know, and, factual backing, shall we say.
Sure.
So, how do we do this, though, and avoid, I guess, resorting to the same sort of straw man arguments that we're trying to stamp down on? Because to me, like, the idea that it's all about it's a response about censorship or free speech, this is just a straw man argument. This has nothing to do with either what the university's position might be, what, or the fact that other people in the public sphere are reacting to this obvious act of asshattery. Have you done any in your conversations on your podcast, talking about current events and such, which is what my focus tends to be on a lot of the time, have you brought up, I suppose, how to challenge some of these counter arguments or a way to make your snark stand up a bit better? I apologize if I'm dumping a lot on you right now.
No, that's fine. In fact, that's something I still ask myself, because, you know, well, I actually, even though, you know, I criticize Boghossian, like, I really like his idea of street epistemology, you know, asking people, well, how do you know? What made you come to that belief? You know, and sometimes I do that, but other times I sort of, you know, resort to total snarkiness. Like, okay, today I really pissed off, you know, all the people on the alt-right when
it's hard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, basically what happened was, I don't know if you two are familiar with a certain person on YouTube named Blair White.
No. But I saw your Facebook status about...
Yeah, she is a trans woman who is, like, a racist, you know, anti-feminist, you know, trans woman who has a lot of internalized transphobia.
So she's the transgender Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah, basically. although my tweet was, like, I wrote on Twitter that she was the Ben Carson of the trans community, you know? Right. And she, like, retweeted and said, well, being that Ben Carson is a neurosurgeon, I'll take that as a compliment, but you're too stupid to realize that. And so, and first I was like, yay, she noticed me finally. And then, like, all of her fans, like, either retweeted it or commented, like, ha ha, what a stupid idiot, and blah, blah, blah. Fortunately, it hasn't gotten to the point of, like, you know, you know, I'm getting death threats or anything like that. Maybe it has something to do with the whole sort of, I don't know, male passing privilege thing, because since my name, Trav, is basically a condensed version of a quote-unquote man's name, they just see me as just a man wearing lipstick. A man trying to, you know, wearing lipstick and eyeliner, they kind of think, ha, you're just an idiot. Where if I looked more femme, they'd be like, I'm going to rape the shit out of you next time I see you.
Well, I get really annoyed when someone in a certain, in any marginalized group goes, well, I don't feel this way, so naturally no one can.
Right,
I'm not
exactly
offended by transphobia, so why are you? Well, fuck you. You don't speak for all of us.
That right, really exactly. only works when it's a specific joke that you yourself are the target of. I think that's the only time that defense really works. The rest of the time, it's just you. It's a failure of introspection, which is something that I think a lot of people, especially in this country nowadays, are not very good at doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So when do you think this person will be appointed to be Secretary of Education?
Let's see here. Probably, I'd say in about, maybe 2020, depends on, you know, how, you know, the first... 4 years go.
2020, that's when we're supposed to get hindsight, right?
yeah, hopefully. Oh, I never thought of it that way before. You know, maybe by then we'd be like, what the hell have we done?
Wow, we really got off on some tangents there. So, Trev.
No, that's fine.
Procedure.
So, you have a speaking engagement coming up, which I hear is a pretty big deal. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. It's at the American Humanist Association conference in 2017. I think it's like June 8th to the 11th, but don't quote me on that. But I know it's in Charleston, South Carolina.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, being in South Carolina. Well, I mean, I've it's always at a different city each year, and so I guess South Carolina was like the only place I could, you know, book a spot for. And
I've got to say, at least Charleston is at least somewhat of civilization and, you know, urban civilization. It's not like you're going to Myrtle Beach. You know, banjos with palm trees.
Gotcha. Yeah, a lot of people go to Myrtle Beach. In fact, I think my mom and all of her siblings went to Myrtle Beach all the time when they were young. But then again, this was back in the 70s. I don't know if things have changed since then.
They probably regressed, from what I understand.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
there's only a fireworks stand on every other block now.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. So anyways, my talk is called WTF is Genderqueer, and it's basically... It's your basic, you know, genderqueer 101 talk, although there are some pot shots here and there of, like, you know, assholes on, you know, online that say, there are only two genders, you social justice warrior, and which I respond, well, actually, according to these licensed gender therapists, and according to the DSM-5, and according to this scientific article, you know, there's still a lot of gaps in our understanding of, you know, non-binary gender identities, but it looks like all the professionals say it's legit, not just a bunch of whiny social justice warriors trying to be special snowflakes.
You invented your gender identity from Tumblr. That's what the other
people are talking about, right?
Like, you were just a normal cis person, and then one day read a convincing article on Tumblr, and were like, wow, I can be something different? Maybe I should be.
Well, actually, that's not too far from the truth, but let me explain for your audience.
You're undercutting the argument.
All right.
Let me explain,
and I don't know if, Riz, this was your experience, you know, coming out as transgender, but... you know, I always felt like I never felt like I was comfortable as, you know, a male, but I never felt like I was, you know, quote unquote, a woman trapped in a man's body. I know that's not a very, you know, kosher way of saying it, because it's sort of suggesting, like, you know, genitals equals gender, but, you know, I always felt androgynous somewhere in between, but, you know, I just thought, oh, I'm just a fairy, you know, whatever. Not a literal fairy, but just, you know, as a slur. Until
I've got to say, I know plenty of both.
Right, yeah. Until I discovered this term genderqueer, I was like, huh, what's this? And I said, you know, oh, it's, you know, non, you don't really fit in between, you know, really a man or a woman. I was like, well, that's interesting. Until, and then I saw, like, this video of this person saying, you know, it's like, oh, well, I feel like I'm, you know, this much boy and this much girl. I feel like I'm a guy and a girl at the same time. And I was like, wait a minute, there's a word for that? Oh, shit. Damn. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't really, I mean, yeah, it took, like, social media for me to understand what genderqueer was, but, you know, I always had the feelings beforehand, you know, it's just that later on in life, you know, I found that there's a word for it.
Oh, absolutely. I had a very similar experience, as I've told a lot of people on the interviews I've been doing recently. Everybody thought I was gay when I was younger, and I wasn't, but I also knew I was different. I just didn't understand how. And it wasn't until my mid-20s where I went, oh, that's a thing? Cool. Like, everything made sense once I had the words for it. But before that, I just thought, oh, I'm just weird. So I find a lot of these, there's too many labels. People are just lazy
right.
and don't want to actually learn a thing, but also don't want to be an outright asshole. So therefore they go, why can't we just get along? Because you're invalidating my identity, fucktard.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's not the case that we're necessarily inventing new things here. We're just kind of coming up with new words for feelings and opinions and thoughts about personal biology and sexuality that have always
yeah,
been
yeah.
So you mean how language exists?
Kind
right,
of.
Yeah.
Words mean things. This shit's moving, Ruth.
Uh-huh. Exactly, exactly. In fact, I always tell people all the time, one of my favorite you know, people was Leslie Feinberg, who passed away a couple of years ago, and they were I think both identified as, you know, trans masculine and also a butch lesbian. And they once wrote in a book, you know, that gender is the poetry we make from the language we're taught. And so that's, you know, basically when people say, you know, oh, you're just making up words, I was like, well, I mean, you know, there's a huge argument of, like, you know, whether or not there are multiple gender identities, because, you know, science hasn't proven that part yet. You know, like the whole thing about, you know, you guys probably know about the, you know, scientific studies where they do, like, brain scans on, like, you know, trans people and cis people. And they're like, huh, well, you know what? The trans women's brain patterns look a lot like, you know, cis women's brain patterns. You know, maybe there is a neurological basis for gender, you know. Well, they haven't tested that on non-binary people yet. So, like I said, there's a lot of gaps, you know, in our knowledge about, you know, non-binary gender identities. However, you know, there all's that's to say that, you know, when people say, you know, oh, there are multiple genders, that means, you know, basically it's like multiple ways we describe our gender, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm just so sick of people making a big deal out of it, like it's contributing to the downfall of society.
Yeah,
I don't care
yeah.
if there are 58 gender identities. It doesn't change anything. All it takes is being respectful to people. You want me to call you a lizard? Fine. Who gives a shit? Seriously. Yeah, go take a bath in the sand. I don't care.
Right.
And I just find so many people become so defensive and they can't explain why, because there is no basis other than it's something I don't know or haven't looked at before. Therefore, it's scary and invalid and can't be legit.
Exactly. It's a false dichotomy, really, because, I mean, the same people who will post the stuff about biologists say there are only two sexes are the same people that say, like, bisexuality doesn't exist.
Oh, yes.
And Riss, you and I both know a person from Australia who's very, very proud of his asexuality, among mm-hmm. many other things. So it's not like, I mean, these are clearly defined things. It's just, I guess, people want to, they either want the excuse or they want to the to legitimize their own apathy in not actually confronting or understanding the reality of certain people's situations. So once again, I'm going to go back to my we have no introspective people anymore.
So Trav, why did you make up bisexuality in order to get a podcast? Did you just like puns?
Well, actually, yes and no. I mean,
good answer.
I mean, okay, so like, here's the whole story. Like, you know, I always knew that, like I was saying earlier, Riz, that I was different, and, you know, it's this weird thing being both bisexual and genderqueer, because I'm in the middle, being in the middle of both the, you know, sexual and gender spectrums. I'm like, well, which came first? You know, am I bi because I'm, you know, genderqueer, or am I genderqueer because I'm bi? But anyway, that's
well, if you do it right, they come at the same time.
Right, yeah.
I get it.
I got one. Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Like it's a bit like that old Bill Hicks routine. Which came first, the boner or the Madonna video?
Yeah.
And if a boner falls in the woods, do you make a noise?
Sorry.
These are the questions that kept me out of the really good schools.
Okay. Gotcha. So, yeah, I discovered I was bisexual in high school, but it took me a long time to, like, really own it, because I was still kind of on the fence about it, because I was like, oh, man, I really love women, and yet I kind of want to make out with my friend Anthony. What? it was just like, you know, 4 years ago, I think I finally came out as bi, and, you know, fast forward a couple of years, I wanted to, you know, make a new blog and a podcast, and I decided, you know, play on the sort of, you know, bisexuality is like, oh, let's call it By Any Means, you know, and also with the Bi Skeptical podcast, I thought, you know, oh man, you know, bi skeptical, you know, bisexual, that would be such a clever pun, you know. In fact, that's the reason why I started doing Bi Skeptical. I had the name first and I really wanted to do something with it. And so I went on Facebook and I was like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, you know, sister podcast called Bi Skeptical, because it's way too good of a pun to, you know, let go. Does anybody want to, you know, conspire with me and my other fellow bisexual atheists? And then Morgan was like, yeah, sure, I'm interested. And so we got to talk about it, and that, hence, Bi Skeptical Podcast was born.
Fantastic. I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah.
This is just such a tight-knit community. You know, just with coming out with a book and all the people who have reached out to me about it, I have really, you included, just, I have met so many amazing people from all over the country who seem to be really motivated with the recent political events. And that's a good sign for, you know, the post-apocalypse where we'll all have to meet in secret caves and podcast through our tin string network. But hey, we'll all still hang out.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've noticed that too. I guess because since, you know, well, atheists, we tend to, you know, we are still and a bit of a minority. And so, you know, when it comes to atheist related media, when it comes, you know, books, podcasts, blogs, whatever, it still has a very DIY, you know, theme to it. You know, we're busting our ass off doing our own thing. And then someone says, hey, have you listened to this podcast? You heard of this person? Next thing you know, people you've only read, whose blogs you've only read on Pathos, are like sending you friend requests on Facebook. You're like, what? How does Dan Errol know who the hell I am, you know?
Yeah, Eli Bosnick texted me the morning of my wedding. Like, it's he gave me advice. I was just sitting there going,
Senpai?
Yeah, you know who I am? That's amazing. And the best one was when Noam Chomsky responded to me, because I was just like, oh, you are a person who does things. That's amazing.
Right, yeah.
I always thought you were Bernie Sanders who became Doc Brown and came back in time to warn us all of the evils of the future.
I got to go fetch a broom now to clean up some of all these names that we're dropping.
Oh, yes.
we've been turned down by more than we've been accepted by. So just imagine what my email inbox looks like. So what was your favorite interview, your favorite guest, besides us? I mean, naturally.
Right. Well, you mean people that I've had on my show?
Yeah. Well, I would assume it wasn't the people I've had on my show, but you're welcome to point those out, too.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I actually, the David Silverman interview was quite interesting because, you know, people, when I told friends, like, oh, I'm going to have Silverman on the show, they're like, oh, man, he is such a talker, just to warn you. And I think I only got, like, 3 questions in because it took, like, you know, 20 minutes to, you know, answer each question. I mean, don't get me wrong, the stuff he's saying was great, you know. I think it was, you know, I think we had a great conversation, but it was still, I was like, I remember I actually had to take, because he's a busy guy, and so when I emailed him, we set up a date. I was like, okay, let me look at my schedule. Oh, I have to work that day, so let me, I'll request to come in at noon that day instead of coming in at 8 like I usually do. And so, you know, we talked, and I was like, you know, oh, crap, it's getting close to time for me to go to work. So, like, after the third, after he was done with the third question, I was like, we're all out of time. Don't worry, folks. It's not because David said anything wrong. It's just that I have to go to work right now.
I don't think we've had anybody on the show who talks too much. We've just had issues with delays, you know, with people on a 12 or 15 second delay and trying to work out the prediction on when they're going to stop talking or trying to get in a comment on something they said.
We become the Canadian podcast. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. No one after you.
Right.
Sorry about that.
Remember when we had Zumach on and he was so delayed that we would try to get something in and realize, oh, he's talking shit. No wonder he bailed on us. So, Trav, if people were to look up your speaking appearance in your podcast, where would they find them?
Well, you can find it all on freethoughtblogs.com/byanymeans. And that's also where, you know, I don't really blog as much anymore. I mostly just focus on the podcast because putting words together to form coherent sentences really takes a lot, drains me for some reason. And so I mostly just, you know, do the podcast. Although, you know, you can find everything there.
Fantastic. Right. And you said this is in Charleston and June 8th to the 11th. It's the AHA convention thing. So
American Humanist Association conference.
There we go.
I can words.
So if you want to go visit all the characters from North and South, you can stop by and see Trav on the way.
Yeah,
Trav, this was a fantastic interview, and we're so glad you could come on and join us. We'll be sure to have you on again sometime, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
All right.
Absolutely. Nice meeting you.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we'll see you next time.
Inciting Incident couldn't keep bringing you commentary, interviews, and fantastic guests without help from you, the patrons. You can support the podcast on a monthly basis at patreon.com/incitingincident, which gives you access to many great rewards, including a free t-shirt if you pledge $5 or more. You can also support the show by subscribing, rating, reviewing, and commenting. To contact them about ideas, guests, disagreements, fisticuffs, salmon slapping, rebel rousing, or just plain old tomfoolery, you can email them at incitingincidentpodcast@gmail.com. On Facebook at facebook.com/incitingincidentpodcast. Or yell into a tin cup and hope it's connected to one of our aforementioned string networks. And now, back to the show.
So, welcome back. And we are, of course, just here in Lobsterhead Studios, totally in Lobsterhead Studios, not in any way making a replacement for Lobsterhead Studios. Brian, how are you?
I finally reached the point where I no longer have to recite the Bene Gesserit litany against fear 3 times in order to start my day. So I'd say I'm pretty good.
Can you clarify what the hell that is, please?
You never read the book Dune by Frank Herbert?
I have not.
I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total oblivion.
Okay.
All right, but three nerds in our audience are laughing their asses off right now.
Fantastic. I'm not one of them, but I am a total nerd. I just don't happen to know a lot of nerd references.
I'll throw the book at you. It's on my shelf. Don't worry.
So that was a nice conversation we had with Trav. Yes. But of course, we wanted to follow up because we haven't had people on recently. It's the holiday season. Everybody's been busy. You know, how was your holiday season and how were you as a loser in the war on Christmas?
Well, as a loser in the war on Christmas, as a loser in the war on Christmas, I got to dejectedly wish everyone a blessed solstice when they said Merry Christmas to me. And come up with just whatever holiday wound up being close on the fly. I got a lot of weird looks, but no actual animosity. So, yay, white privilege.
Indeed.
but as far as our actual holiday went, I got to prove to my family and to my girlfriend that I am a great boyfriend and B, a great uncle. Because I had really, really positive responses to the gifts that I got. So, yes, yes, I win Xmas.
Fantastic. I love hearing stories like that. We posted a blog on the Inciting Incident blog about how I hate Christmas, but atheism isn't why. Atheists love Christmas. I hate Christmas because I worked in retail. It has nothing to do with religion.
Nope.
So you've got young nephews and a niece.
I have a niece, yes.
So how is it seeing Christmas through their eyes? Because I saw Christmas through my own kids' eyes as a full-time parent this year. So I'm curious what it's like from that point of view.
Well, I gotta say it's interesting because they're three different ages. I've got a nephew who's on the cusp of teenage, right? I've got another nephew who is kindergarten, elementary school age, and I've got a niece who's still technically a toddler. So the experience that I have, we got my oldest nephew a lot. He's really getting into Dungeons and Dragons as a big hobby. He loves it. He loves running it. He loves playing it. He loves doing stuff, rolling the dice, reading the books, setting up maps and encounters and stuff. And he's done a lot of stuff with me and my brother as kind of guinea pigs to kind of get a feel for how to be a GM. Well, he got a whole boatload of dice and game boxes and books and all this other stuff. So he was, you could see the wheel, his response reaction to a lot of his gifts was you could see the wheels turning in his head about all the potential creative stuff that he's going to get to do now that he's got the stuff to do it, which is really cool. My younger nephew, you got the sense of just how much of a destructive little tyrant he is as a little child, because all he wanted to do was tear open the packages, whether or not it was his to tear open. So we had to rein him in for a while and say, no, that's your sister's box. Let your sister open it. Because he wanted to help. He wanted to help everybody open their stuff. And he was happy, I guess, ordering his dad to build him stuff because he got some Lego stuff. He got some models of things. It's like, Daddy, build this for me. I want to play with it. Okay, fine. And then you have my youngest niece, who's three, and the fun part about her was watching her just squeal in absolute delight when it was a thing that she recognized.
Aww.
Like, we got her some My Little Pony stuff. She's big into My Little Pony. She loves the word I got from my sister-in-law was anything that is both girly and badass is appropriate for my niece to have, which I highly agree.
Oh, absolutely. I've known that since she was a little bitty thing.
Oh, yeah.
It just perfectly fits her. Mine is sort of right in the middle of one and two there.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are 9 and 8, and my 9-year-old boy does not express enthusiasm in anything, so everything was meh. So he's like a character on South Park. So my daughter, on the other hand, loves everything. And so it's been a parallel experience of, kid, would you do a thing that doesn't involve watching someone scream about Minecraft versus, you're just becoming more adorable. Come snuggle with me. And she does. And I turn into the weakest person in the world when she does. Yeah. So being that I've gotten custody of my children, you know, about 6 months ago, I've seen them come out of their shells from whatever trauma they were dealing with, whatever was holding them back. I feel like they're really developing their own personalities now, and it's not out of fear or coping. And that's been probably the best blessing in our lives right now. Mm-hmm. And you're here every day, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. And it's interesting interacting with your son, especially, because the more I'm spending time with him and recognizing his verbal tics with what I tend to do when I'm by myself, just kind of watching a kick-ass movie or something on the computer, and I realize, God, your son is me.
Well, it makes sense. I mean,
your son is me. So I feel like maybe we as a household need to start learning to speak his language a bit more. But I am not a child psychologist. I did one semester of child psychology when I was studying education. But no, I think we got an interesting family dynamic in this house going on.
Well, as No Illusions would say, Pikachu. There's my contribution. I helped. My daughter wants to watch ECW with me. That's my language. So what I thought was really interesting, this was my first out Christmas. Mm-hmm. I obviously couldn't be out around certain family members, but at the same time, I spent the last month being on about 12 other podcasts talking about the book.
But, yeah, that was a big deal.
I published a book and people read it. I'm confused. But the thing that I got pointed out that was more striking than anything else is a friend of mine who has known about me longer than I'd been out looked at the family pictures we took where I obviously wasn't presenting and wasn't out and said, "That's not the Riz I know. You just look dead and cold." And it's like, yeah, you put that picture up against the one I took right before we started the podcast. It's like two different people. It's painful to have to pretend, but I think the time of pretending is very short. So it's progress.
Yes. It's a process, like everything
is. Oh, of course. You know, this will be our first podcast of the year, even though we're recording it in 2016. You know, we're starting it off in 2017, and, you know, Carrie Fisher just left us, mm-hmm. and so many others. And at the same time, it's hard to empathize for me, not in the way of, you know, I don't feel for the people who had a strong attachment to Princess Leia. I obviously do. But these people who think it's the year's fault, I'm having a hard time with that, only because we made years up.
I don't know.
It's not a thing.
But the fact that we've given a label to this specific period of time, I think, gives it enough agency. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's the weird quasi-religious attribution that we as people tend to have to a lot of our universal things. It's like we want something invisible that we can just shake our fist at to justify some impotent rage. And there's one image macro that I have to say that I really appreciate, and we're getting a note from our newsroom, finger quotes newsroom, going on here, that not just Carrie Fisher is dead, her mom just died as well. Debbie Reynolds just passed away. So there's one image macro that my girlfriend linked to me that I'm happy to be circulating as we're approaching New Year's Eve on our end of the time spectrum here, which is I'm going to be looking forward to staying up until midnight on New Year's Eve this year, not to ring in the new year, but just so I can watch 2016 die. Just so I can watch this year get shoved figuratively and literally into the garbage bin of history, because this year has not been fun for all but a very, very small, very clueless group of people.
I'm not clueless.
No.
I know what you're saying.
Thank you.
I just have a difficult...
Come on board with me, Riz. I know you're following this train of logic here.
No, it's not even that. It's just I had a great year, so I have a very hard time hating it, even with the shitty election.
Yeah, it's a mix of ups and downs, and at the moment, because we've seen a lot of really big name downs, that's what I'm going to focus on.
Fair enough. I mean, the Cleveland drought ended. I got married. I published a book. Started a podcast, returned to my column, like...
And meanwhile, I spent 2.5 months just staring at my belly button. So, hey, you win some, you lose some. I don't know.
That sounds like a pleasant summer to me. I don't know what you're talking about. So, good news, everyone.
Oh, good news.
We have new patrons.
Yes.
And I don't recognize any of them, so even better.
Strangers! Yay, stranger love!
It is always good to have people give us money who don't have the bias of already knowing us.
We've got a thing that's called stranger love!
Indeed. And, Astrid has had an ankle injury, so I didn't ask her to be over tonight. We hope she gets better soon and can join us here. Astrid, if you're listening, we didn't not think of you, but you're hurt, and I don't want you wasting time making dick jokes.
If you're out there, if you're hurting, I just want to know there's a place you can go.
Credulity is not a virtue. Okay. We're just going to do every other show's slogan right now.
Callie, I never met you, but I love you. I want you to know that.
We're going to meet Ari in 2 weeks.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, so if anyone's going to the GAM Cogdis live show.
Yes, that's right.
All of us will be there.
Yes.
And not to mention, Molly Young Mormon's coming with us.
Yeah, oh, great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. You know, I have sincerely been eagerly following her blog. And
it's fantastic.
The insight that she has coming from the position that she's in to where she is now and where she is still going as a budding skeptic and atheist and a person who's just questioning the beliefs that they once held with no standards but what is factual and what is honest to them is a magnificent thing to read.
Yeah, I mean, we started by having her over here because for some reason she decided to give us money out of, like, hey, you did a nice thing for me.
And then she brought us cookies.
She did bring us cookies. Oh my God, did she bring us cookies? I'm going to convert to Mormonism for a few years just for the cookies.
Just for the baking.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a great racket they got.
Yeah. We're going to be double agents. This will become the Joseph Smith Incident podcast.
I can't give up my caffeine.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Good point.
Caffeine and carbs.
I'd get one day into the headache and go, fuck it. Patrons.
Yes, we were doing a thing. That's right.
So Jim Ford joined our patron ranks. And
hey, Jim.
I've given everybody who has donated this week or this month a shout out on Patreon, but that is part of the show. We give you compliments.
All
right. So if you were to have Molly Unmormon bake Jim any cookie, what would it be?
Oh, it's got to be snickerdoodles.
Snickerdoodles.
There is no, unless you're allergic to cinnamon, in which case just go with the standard chocolate chip, but there is no cookie out there that is more about the sharing of love and I want to know you and be a part of your life than a big plate full of snickerdoodles.
I'm old
fashioned. Plus, it's just a fun word to say.
It is. I'm old fashioned. Warm, chewy, soft chocolate chip cookies are the way to my heart. So
you had me at warm.
Yeah. if there's anybody out there who's looking for a free autographed copy of the book, if you send me chocolate chip cookies, I might send you a book. Because I got a whole bunch coming back from Chris Cluey, so I'm eager to give a few away. And we will be giving a few away because we are two patrons short of our 40 patron goal to give away shit.
All right.
So we are at 38 right now. It's $1 a month. You get up to $1 a month, you're going to win Chris Cluey's autograph among many other cool things. So thank you, Jim. Next, we have Patrick John Graydon, who decided to give us $5.
Cool. Thanks, Patrick.
So he's going to get an extra compliment. If Patrick was a position on Chris Cluey's football team, when would he make the winning play?
I know teams. I'm not literate enough in professional or college football to know about individual.
What position would he play on Chris Cluey's football team?
He'd be the guy who holds the football for. Chris was a punter.
Yes,
he'd be his long snapper. He'd be a Chris Cluey's long snapper, and he would make sure that Chris never fumbled the goddamn football and cost them the game like the Panthers did.
And that,
twice.
That may sound boring, but when you realize you get to bend over in front of somebody as beautiful as Chris Cluey, you start to reconsider it no matter what your sexuality is. I would have him be the tight end for the exact same reason. So, thank you, Patrick.
Please, can we get off the conversation about bending over in tight ends? Because I feel like Patton Oswalt Colt needs to come in here shouting, "Bend over, Abigail May, because here comes the gravy pipe."
Yeah, but either way, you get to be on an awesome football team. And if you don't get the reference, read Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies and see the football teams he comes up with, because he needs to rename every football team in the NFL with his nerd fantastic MST3K Bob Johnson-like names.
I'd be okay with that.
I would be okay with it, too. So thank you, Patrick. And our newest patron, Janet Yater, or Uter. Janet.
Janet.
Damn it, Janet. Janet is our newest patron, number 38.
Very cool.
So 1 in 38 chance of being our lucky giveaway winner. We just need two more for as little as $1 a month. Janet, if Janet was in the Rocky Horror Picture Show and was any character but Janet, who would she be?
Magenta, because she actually gets to live and go off into outer space happily fucking her partner for all eternity.
That's a good answer. I would have her be the person who got married in the beginning, Betty Monroe, because she gets to be happy and she doesn't have to go incesty and deal with aliens and eating meatloaf, literally.
We see Frank, but the virgins don't.
Indeed, we do. So, Janet, that's actually a compliment. We're not saying damn it, and we're not making you fuck your brother. That's just one of the many gifts we give you as an Inciting Incident patron. So, that wraps that up. Like I said, we are two patrons short of our first big goal. So if you've been thinking of giving us money and you haven't yet, now's a really good time. So before we wrap up here, I of course want to say thank you also to our sponsors, Warrior the Crystal and Mind Aquarium. Mm-hmm. But as we're wrapping up the year, I know I already wrapped up the year with Inciting Incident on episode 72, but Brian, what are you looking forward to doing the most in 2017?
Gosh, that's a very good question. I suppose stepping up my game on social media to call out some more, call out all the fuckwads I see with absolutely no shame anymore.
That's a good thing, and any other straight cis white people, please do that as well. We need your voice. It's not enough to have the queer people yelling. We need the allies, and not on a convenience basis. That is the key word. If you're only an ally when it's convenient, you're not a fucking ally. Are there any movies coming out that you're looking forward to?
Well, I've got to say, it's not in 2017, but coming up in the very near future, I've got a date to go see Assassin's Creed, just to kind of fill out my quota this year of seeing every video game-based movie that has come out. For research purposes, and I'm not even finger quotes there, research purposes.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm
going to
be giving my talks on the convention circuit, starting, I believe, with Zenkai Con in Lancaster in late March.
Yeah, and I'll be going with you for the exact same reason, even though I haven't looked forward to seeing a movie since Kingsman, so that should give you an idea of how much cinema school ruins everything. What about shows, anything in particular coming out that's piqued your interest?
None that I can really speak to. I've got to pay attention. I got to pay attention about Personal Space, which is a project being worked on by a friend of mine, a college friend of mine from another college. I went to Pitt, he went to CMU, but we met on the improv circuit. Tom Pike, who's in the process of producing a web television series about a bunch of astronauts talking to their therapist AI who don't actually realize that they're part of a reality show.
Ooh, I like it.
And TV Tropes sponsored and produced. And yeah, I'm looking for some more news about that. He got Richard Hatch.
Wow.
As one of the actors involved in this show. Yes, Apollo from the original Battlestar Galactica.
I know who Richard Hatch is.
Yeah, the terrorist guy from the remake. Mm-hmm. Yes, that Richard Hatch is on this show. It's a big project.
I'm certainly happy to hear that. I did read some of his work with mm-hmm. you at one point. So anybody... who has your recommendation is all right by me. I'm looking forward to another 50-ish episodes because we don't do two a week anymore, mercifully. And, you know, we progressed a lot. We went from yakking about movies to actually talking about something that matters.
Well, some of us still yak.
Well, sure. I mean, even right now, we're just having a little fun.
My mind is a Mobius strip of bullshit.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I just didn't want to only talk about movies, mm-hmm. especially because I've lost interest in movies. So, you know, it was going to be I don't want to see this because it's stupid, and I don't want to be that girl. But What I'm really looking forward to is the art and music that's going to come out as soon as Clownface Von Fuckstern takes office. You know, the one good thing that tends to come out of Republican regimes is music, art, comedy gets much better. So if there is any silver lining to this mushroom cloud, I think it's that.
Well, we'll wait and see.
Yeah. So that's going to be our wrap for the first episode of 2017, even though we're still in 2016. And
time!
I'll be spending New Year's Eve anyway watching the Buckeyes, so I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit here because even though I'm a girl, I watch football obsessively. Go fuck yourself and your gender stereotypes, Todd.
God
Ooh,
damn
I
it,
should
Tampers.
Tell that story.
Oh, yes, tell the story. Yeah, tell the
little,
story, please.
Little anecdote before we go. I was walking somewhere. I wasn't presenting, but I had on my purple pants. And I was just walking to the post office to send some very generous people who bought my book their books. And I have my headphones on, just walking across the street in front of where I live. And this dude, bro, in a backwards hat and a button-down shirt, of course, walks by and goes, "What's with the pants, fag?" And I just turned without missing a beat and said, "What's with the fragile masculinity, Todd?"
Did you just invent a new slur? Is that going to be the slur for the cishet dude, bro? Todd?
Yeah.
You're being a real Todd right now.
Todd the brochalist. Thanks, Trav. I'm good with that. He's the guy in the club who goes to the gay bar to hit on the lesbians. Fuck you, Todd. So we've got Todd and Carl. Todd and Carl in 2017. That's what we'll be bringing you here on the Inciting Incident podcast. So I want to thank all of you who either at episode 1 or 73 have decided to listen to us, and all of you who have purchased my book through me. I've been selling copies personally on PayPal, so thank you very much to all of you who give a shit what we have to say for some reason, and what I have to say in print. We of course thank our patrons, all 38 of them, and our two sponsors, like I said, Warrior of the Crystal and the Mind Aquarium Artist. Fantastic. We'll be doing my next book cover because I can't do book covers, and that's apparently obvious. We're gonna wrap it there. Until next time, I wish we had a catchy off phrase thing other than cutting to a song.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Yeah, again. Well, now we have that again. That was good.
Oh yeah, dude. I just make it up, man. I can't do anything I've done before.
But it's two measures as an intro, though. Okay.
Thank you. just a hippie cowboy like Cody James, and then some old hate starts laughing about my car. He looked at me with a stinky eye, unlike Charlie Daniels. I did not decide to go straight outside. It was all dust and peanut shells. White friend has it, go to hell. I've been drinking, having a good time. And a honky-tonk bar and fire happens nearly every night down at your local bar and grill.
The guy I had on last week was this whole thing blew his mind. Like, Craig was just sitting there going, wait, it recorded both of us? I don't have to do anything? No, yeah. Craig, it's already done. You just changed my life.
Witchcraft, I say.
All right, so you ready to get started?
You speak into a microphone, it goes into the computer, witchcraft happens, and we produce a show.
All right, let's do this.
Okay.
The preceding podcast is owned by It's a Shameful Thing Lobsterhead, LLC. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved. For inquiries or media, please contact P.A. Torres at patorres.com.